Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. This is Todd Perry, and welcome to PPM Simplifies. This episode is very exciting. We have an environmental scientist in with us out of our Baton Rouge office, Mr. Corey Gautreaux. Corey is an absolutely amazing scientist. He takes a really complex topic, air permitting, and he's going to help us understand it better, and he will actually evidence simplifying the complex. Now, if you knew Corey, and when you talk to Corey, the thing you need to know is of anybody I've ever met, this man bleeds purple and gold. He is an LSU advocate and supporter. Corey, so glad to have you with us. How are you today?
I am wonderful, Todd. Thanks for having me. I think that's a good start. Absolutely. Love the Tigers. Absolutely. So I think anybody that knows me knows that's one thing that's always mentioned.
And then we're going to determine there's got to be a way to where having that passion for LSU kind of works into handling air regulations better. Surely there's some kind of connection.
Now, you know, Todd, whenever I first started at DEQ, one of the first permits I worked on was for Tulane University. And it was a little painful to do a boiler permit for Tulane, but we got it done and cut my teeth, and then we were good to go.
Off to the races. Off to the races.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll dive right in, man. Again, so glad to have you with us. You're working a facility. You got a facility and planning. You need to start working through your permits, and air permitting being one of the pieces that you're going to go through because you know you're going to have admissions. What are some of the first things you need to think about as you organize and prepare to do an air permit?
Probably the biggest thing is the timeline. A lot of folks forget that air permitting is not something that happens overnight. It's going to take some time to get your permits and to get everything in place. So the first thing that you cannot start any kind of construction or anything like that until you have a permit in place. So you're going to want to make sure that you prepare enough time in your calendar and in your timeline to make sure that you can get that permit in hand. Some states do issue construction permits separate from an operating permit. Here in Louisiana, we do just offer one permit for both operating and construction. But a lot of folks are unaware that, you know, you cannot begin any kind of construction until you have your air permit. That involves clearing land and grading. Those are about the only things that you can do prior to securing your permit. So it's really important to make sure that you're planning well enough that you have everything in place before you start laying any kind of foundations for emission sources, any kind of buildings that will house any kind of emission sources, support structures. All that cannot occur until after you have secured that air permit. So it is literally, in order to get it off the ground, you have to have that air permit in hand.
And you just really hit on something that's really key. As you discussed, each state is going to have certain ways they do things and issue permits and address that. In Louisiana specifically, they want you to have your operational air permit in place before you begin construction. Like you said, you can clear land, you can grade and prep, but you can't begin to pour concrete and construct until you have that air permit in hand. So in Louisiana, it's really mission critical. You know what you're doing there, and you can really think through what your footprint's going to look like and what kind of emissions you're going to have and what those outputs are. And if you miss that, you're really behind the eight ball, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you start off right behind. You know, everybody thinks, sometimes folks will think environmental last, and, you know, it's like, oh, just, it's a permit. Like, okay, we can just call DEQ and get that. And, you know, it's not quick. It's something that takes time and takes planning. And it's important that we get in on the front foot so that way we can, you know, we can make sure that we get those permits in hand so that way we don't hold up any of your construction projects.
And so you've got laid out, you got the foundation there, no pun intended. And so, you know, you need an air permit. So where do you start? How would you approach it to try to be as effective as you can.
So really the key is the calculations. Everything that we're going to do after for the entire permit is going to revolve around those calculations. First of all, it's going to tell you whether you need a minor source, Title V, PSD permit. So without those calculations, you're not even sure, you know, what forms you need to fill out. You're not even sure, you know, where to start. So calculations, everything we're going to do is going to be about the potential to emit for the facility. So once you can figure out your emissions and whether you know you're a minor source or whether you're a Title V or if you trigger PSD, then you can figure out, is there modeling required? And who knows, maybe your emissions will be small enough that you may be exempt from air permitting. So there's all the keys go into knowing that potential to emit for the facility, because if not, it's just going to be, you know, you're just kind of guessing at what you may need to move forward. An example here in Louisiana, sources that are less than 5 tons of any criteria pollutants, that's PM10, PM2.5, NOx, CO, SO2, and VOCs. If you're less than 5 tons of those and 15 ton total, you actually don't require an air permit. So if you're less than those thresholds, you can kind of get started on your construction that we just talked about a little sooner. There's no exemption that's required. You don't have to have any kind of documentation from the state. All you want to do is just keep the documentation on hand to show that you evaluated your facility's emissions and you know that you do not need an air permit. So it's important to get that first step done, get the calculations in hand. Once you do that, things are going to move a lot smoother. And then hopefully we can get everything else lined out and get your application into the agency.
So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. What you share with us is one size does not fit all, especially when it comes to permitting, especially when it comes to air permitting. And you really got to know what your emissions would be and forecasted to be so you can right size your permit. And there's a lot of different options depending on what those are. So you've done those calculations and you've got a sense of, hey, I need a full Title V PSD, which is a very complex permit. A lot of calculations, a lot of work to be done. Is the state in Louisiana, and I guess is also a global comment for other states, do you find it a lot better to be very forthright and not scared to ask questions and have open communications and transparency to get the state to kind of partner in? Or is it better to try to get everything prepared in a silo and then dump it on them?
You know, it kind of, again, not maybe one size fits all. You know, if you have a pretty run of the mill, say a grain elevator or something that, you know, it's not really controversial, should be pretty straightforward, nothing different than DEQ has seen, you could probably go ahead and try to get that application into DEQ without doing any kind of pre-permitting meetings and stuff like that. However, if you're doing something through, you know, Louisiana Economical Development or something like that, where you're really trying to, maybe your name's been in the paper a little bit, and you know, it's a area that of the state that, you know, is maybe getting some attention, then absolutely, it'd be a great idea to meet with the guys over at DEQ, you know, Brian, Bliss, any of those, try to get a meeting with them, let them know what you're doing, let them give you some guidance. Obviously, if you can make them feel comfortable with your project, that's going to help once the permit goes to signature and, you know, goes on down the pipe.
Absolutely. So, and again, I think that's spot on, of course. And maybe I'm going to back up just a hair. So we're in the process. We've done our calculations. We know what kind of permit we need. What are the next things to think through the process? What's coming next for you?
So this is the next steps are going to be pretty straightforward. You know, it's going to be a form. Depending on the state, each form will have different, or each state will have different forms that are going to be required. There'll be a report in there, so you'll need a facility description or project description of what you're doing. You'll need a regulatory analysis. Depending on the state, the forms are the most, I guess, the meat and potatoes of the information that's going to go to the agency. So they're going to have your basic information, contact information, stuff like that. In Louisiana, the site address, you know, the agency interest number that DEQ will assign, your project company name, any kind of related site personnel, the plant manager, If modeling is required, you'll put your modeling results in there. Any insignificant activity or general condition GC17s and other items depending on that particular state. But that's really what's going to go into those forms. The forms is probably one of the easier portions of the application if there is an easy thing about an air permit. But those are pretty straightforward. Usually can get those done pretty quick.
And so you mentioned something. You mentioned regulatory analysis. So could you illuminate that a little bit for us?
Well, one reason I mentioned it is because, again, it outside of the calculations, it's probably the harder part of the permit to put together. It's one of the most complicated. I think that's the word I was probably looking for there. There are different regulations depending on just the site, depending on what you do, depending on a certain emissions chemical or something like that that you're manufacturing or making. So the regulations are important to make sure you get right. This is where we can probably get some help from like a design team. So if you're, say you're putting in a scrubber and you're trying to figure out the flow rate or the pH, we need to know from the manufacturer what are those parameters that you're gonna look at closely. So once we get those parameters, we want to make sure we get those into the permit correctly. We don't want you to have to try to meet a pH of 7 if you're not even going to monitor pH, if you're just monitoring flow rate. So those kind of pieces, it's important to make sure, because the requirements that go into the permit, you're going to have to follow those. So the facility is going to be, that's going to be basically the meat of the actual permit, is to making sure that they're meeting these requirements. So a lot of them are straightforward and you know, common across all permits, but there can be some very site-specific stuff in a permit, and we want to make sure that the facility knows, hey, this is what I need to do. You know, this is what I need to follow. This is how I'm going to follow it. These are the records I'm going to keep. These are the reports that are going to be due to DEQ, things like that. And it's going to be really important that the facility understands those and that they're put into the permit in a way that they can comply with them.
So, and I love it. And this is the fun part. I get to put you on the spot now, Corey. So
all right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lightning round. So here's my question. You share with our audience, you have a very unique perspective because you've had you were at the regulatory agency, you reviewed permits, you've approved them, and now you moved over to consulting and you've written many permits, and you've had experience, you've been through hundreds of permits. As a percentage, where would you put a number of a significant area, an error that's kind of unforced and it significantly impacts your permit? How often does that occur as a percentage? Is it 20% of the time, 10% of the time? What would you put it at?
I would probably say about 25% of the time. Typically, there's always going to be questions, and it's usually a good thing. If the permit writer is working with you and they're communicating with you, that's going to only help make sure that your permit is more, I don't want to say the way you want it, because it's certainly there's only so much you can do, but you want to work with the permit writer to make sure that the permit that you are getting is something that you can comply with, that it encompasses everything it's supposed to have, and then let it go. You know, once you get that permit in hand, it should just be a seamless, we know what we are supposed to do, we know the records, we know the opacity readings, things like that. And then you can hit the ground running. The last thing you want to do is to get a permit and then go, wait, what do I have to do? You know, you don't want to, you want to be on the forefront of that. You want to make sure, you should know what's coming. You should know what to expect from that air permit. So that way, whenever you get it in hand and you start, you know, operating, you already set up to make sure that you're going to be in compliance from even before you start, you know, start operations.
Absolutely fabulous. Very well done. And, you know, kind of wrapping things up, literally getting over the finish line. Are there any thoughts as you prepare your air permitting process to making sure the signature pages are right, fees. Are there anything like that you need to be aware of and watch out for?
So you said the keyword signature page. That it seems like the easiest portion of the AIR permit, right? Just get somebody to sign it and send it in. Just remember, DocuSign is not accepted. Signature or scans of signatures are not accepted through DEQ. You must send what they call a wedding signature. So sometimes you'll have to think about if you know, if the president of the company or the responsible official that's going to be signing, you want to make sure that, you know, they're aware that this is not something that's going to pop up on them, because, hey, it may take you a couple days to get that signature page, get it over to, say, our office at PPM and get us to hand deliver it, or drop it in the mail and get it certified mail. I mean, let's be honest, the mail's not always moving, you know, super quick nowadays. So you don't want to be stuck in a position where, you know, something's getting, you're waiting 7 or 8 days for an application for a signature page to get delivered to DEQ. Another thing, drafting. So we have a drafting group here at PPM that does a wonderful work for us. But all AIR permit applications, they need to include a site location map. Sometimes you'll want to do a process flow diagram. If something looks a little confusing, that helps the permit writer understand exactly what's going on at the facility. So we want to make sure that, you know, that we have time to send that over to our drafting department, let them get everything right so we can put them in, you know, into the permit as they need it. And then, of course, everybody needs to get paid, right? So there's a fee schedule for all LDEQ fees in the AIR regulations. Those can be either paid online. You can pay them online with a credit card or a bank draft. You could also send in a check with the application. But in order for it to be deemed complete at DEQ, you'll want to make sure that you to include that fee, because if not, that's one of the first questions they'll come back for. And one last thing is the expedited permit process. That's something that DEQ does have available to them. So if you are trying to get your permit maybe a little quicker than just the normal route, if maybe you've got surprised and you're ready to start construction a little sooner, there is the expedited permit process, which is a wonderful thing that DEQ does. It allows the permit writer to work on your application outside of their normal hours. And typically it can cut down on application time anywhere, I would say even 75 to 50%, get that application in hand sooner.
Just excellent, great insight. And there are many other states too that have an expedited program, which is very beneficial as we all get in a hurry and feel like we're running behind things. Corey, your insight, I know I and the audience really appreciates that today. Thank you so much for making time for us. Now, if you have any follow-up information or you would like to talk further about the topic, you can easily go to our website, ppmco.com, and there's a contact us form, and you ask for Todd or ask for Corey, and we'll help you with whatever we can. So we look forward to it. Corey, again, big thanks, man. Great information. We cannot wait to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having us, Todd. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, thank everyone so much for joining us today. This is Todd Perry signing off. This is PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.